I think as we are continuing to talk about marriage, so maybe it's important to see the symbolism that the church is giving us in the ceremony of the sacrament of marriage, which I think it has a very important reflections on our personal life and in our relationships together. I think as we are going in there, and the very obvious thing that we all see, it's not only the rings that it's becoming common, but what is important actually, that the church is dressing the groom with a very beautiful garment. And as soon as I see that, every time I see it, I think of myself like Isaiah sitting praying, and suddenly Isaiah saw the Lord is sitting on his throne, and the tail of his garment is just filling the whole place, and the Lord is just bringing the tail of his garment and putting it on the bride and the groom. And it's very beautiful image that the Lord covers us. And this covering is something that's very important in the relationship. So that's why in every prayer we say that thank you, we thank in the prayer of the thanksgiving, because you covered us, helped us. But the covering itself is something that's so important in the relationship. So I give an example in the Old Testament with a family. Maybe it's not a man and a woman, but it's a relationship within a family which has a good reflection for us. When Noah and his family went out of the ark, everything became so beautiful, everything became so calm. It's a very strong experience for them. But still, after this great experience that Noah had, a man of faith, he planted a vine, he made a wine, he was the first person to make wine in the world, he got drunk, and he just like slept, and he got naked in his own tent, in his own room. And this is, I feel like, in the relationship, even if you are strong, even if you are a man of God, if you are a woman of God, even though sometimes you get drunk, of something, you get drunk of work, you get drunk of your inner needs, you get drunk of whatever forces that's pushing you, but then who would see this nakedness in you is the closest person. Is the closest person to you. And this is what happened actually when his son, Cain, came searching. He noticed that his father is naked. And here he is behaving in a very strange way. He looks and he goes out calling his other brothers, come and see your father, come and look at him. And this is something really strange that we do sometimes. We come close to the nakedness of one another. In relationship, especially in the very intimate relationship between a man and a woman, they come very close to the nakedness of each other. And here, what are we doing with this nakedness? Sometimes we are searching for the nakedness of the others, and some other times it comes, it happens, like with Noah. It's just happened that his son saw him naked. And here, what happened with this son, that he built with his father a certain kind of psychological debt. And who can pay? Who can pay the debt between them? If you have economical debt, maybe you will work hard and you will be able to pay back and organize your economy. But when you have a psychological debt, sometimes it's very hard. It needs extra work to heal it. And this is actually what happened when Noah woke up and he discovered what his son did to him, the very close one, the one who could actually enter into his inner room and see his nakedness. And he talked about it. That created within the relationship between the both of them something very strange. The Bible talked about in a spiritual way, and the Bible said it was a curse. Noah cursed his son, his so beloved one, that his son, he had the same experience with him of God's power saving his people, but still he ended up with a curse from his father. It ended up with a broken relationship between these two. I don't know whether this relationship was healed or not. The Bible didn't tell us actually how it was ended. But still, he gave us a beautiful other example of how other relationship could be. The two other sons, when they heard, they didn't see, they didn't come closer to the nakedness of their father, but they were so sensible how to deal with the topic. They brought the garment and they walked backwards and they covered their father without seeing the nakedness of their father. They didn't want to build through seeing, through knowledge, through exposure, a relationship that is carrying a debt here. And this is something I think the Lord is giving us to understand. It's the same story that I see the Lord who is sitting on his throne, and Isaiah is seeing this beautiful vision, and then the Lord is covering the two. It's the same story that I could see Sam and Japheth bringing the garment and covering their father. And it's the same story when the church is putting the beautiful garment on both of you. Yes, it's in the groom, but we consider that the beautiful garment that the bride is having is contained as well with that. And this is so beautiful. How are you covering each other? How you are seeing each other? Are you exposing one another when you are angry? When you see the weakness and you see the drunkenness of the other partner, what are you doing with that? Are you crying, screaming, exposing this other person? Or are you behaving in a good way, a loving person who can actually cover and enjoy the coverage of the grace of God in your life? And here, it's a very important symbolism in the ceremony of the marriage, but still, it reflects on our own personal relationship that we need to take care of it. Most of the time when we are angry, we want to expose the other person to others. And on whom are you exposing? And to whom? And this is something that most of the time, sometimes the problem is so tiny, tiny little one. And when it's added the exposure, then it becomes bigger. And this is something that the church wants to tell you. Enjoy the grace of God in your life, that He covers us, He forgives us, He doesn't want to expose us. But then at the same time, you yourself, you become an example, Christ-like, the example of Christ, that He covers us as well. You cover one another. So when you see this beautiful garment that is put on you, then the first thing I will say, wait a minute here. What I do with my life, and what I do with my relationships. And then you could see, whatever happens, it will stay between a family. And then, even within the family, the two beautiful, good character brothers, they could not see the wickedness of their father. They could not. They stopped themselves to see. This is something that most of us, we need to learn, actually. Sometimes when we want to dig in something and we feel like we know a lot, it's the curiosity. And with the curiosity, we want to know more and more and more. And as if you are covering, uncovering the other person. And no one ever wants to be naked in front of others, especially if it is done by force. And this force could be psychological force or other ways as well. So I think this is the first symbolism that it attracts me personally. As soon as I see it, I could link it with these two things in the Bible. And I feel like I wanted every person who is getting married or attending a marriage to see it and to see this way. Because we all attending lots of marriages and we see all the time. And when the priest is putting this garment, everybody started to... whatever you call it, just like to enjoy this thing that's happening. But I see that it's very deep symbol, and we need to understand it's in the relationships, but also in the relationship with God, that He covers us every day and He forgives us, so we should forgive others. And this is an important symbol. The second symbol I see that in the ceremony of marriage, it's very beautiful. I don't see it in many places and many churches, actually. It's the crowns. And the crowns here is so beautiful. And also it's the same way, like people are always reacting on this as well when we put the crowns on the bride and the groom. Always people in the churches, they are filled with something, filled with joy. And this is something that I feel like we also need to understand why the church is putting crowns on these people. Why? So they are not just... it's a good reminder for us. This is not our crowns, actually. It's the kingdom of God. It's the crown of the kingdom of God. But then you need to know... I link as well this moment with something in the Bible. Maybe I like to link activities in the church with a story in the Bible, because it's just hit the inner person much more than intellectual talks. And images in the Bible is very strong, actually. Always I link it with the beautiful image when Saint John, the evangelist, in the book of Revelation, when he's talking about, when he sees the Lamb of God, the 24 priests will take off their crowns and lay it under the feet of the Lamb of God. And here, why this is so beautiful, that we all have our own crowns in life. And we sometimes come to God with our crowns on. I want to tell you, you can't come before God with your own crown. You need to understand and you need to be ready to take off your crown and lay it under the feet of God, under the feet of your Christ, because He is going to put for you a crown that no one can take away from you. And I want to tell you something. Most of the time, the crowns that we are holding, we want to keep. It's clay crowns. It's made of clay. All of it. All of it. Whatever you feel so proud of, and you feel this is my crown, this is the one that I want to keep, whether it's my beauty or fame or money or education or positions or it's all clay crowns. It will vanish. And that's why the church wanted to remind you, look up, take off this crown, because the Lord is putting for you everlasting, eternal crown. No one can see. And this is very much needed in the relationship. If you are not able to take off your crown in a relationship between you and your very intimate relationship, your husband and wife, how come you will be able to take off your crown in life? If the one that you love so much, you can't take off your crown with, how come you will be able to take your crown off with other people? And that's why the church is very, very strongly putting this in you. This is the crown of the kingdom of heaven. This is what you are working for. This is your goal. This is what you should focus on, and take off the other crown. And this is when I put these two together, the link of the 24 priests in the book of Revelation, taking off their crowns, laying them under the feet of Christ. We have the same feelings, the same actions. And every day in relationships, every day, we need to remind ourselves, I need to take off my crown with my relationship with my partner. You can't keep on carrying this crown. You have another crown, the crown of love that Christ is giving you, the crown of the kingdom that you are going through. So I feel like it's a very, very strong symbol here with the crowns. It's also our inner persons. The third symbol that I feel like it's also people are reacting on when we are together in a wedding. It's the anointment with oil. It's very strong. I feel like it's no one can go into a very deep relationship, very intimate relationship with another person without the Holy Spirit. We all have very sharp edges in our life. It's very sharp. Everywhere, every corner in us, we have sharp edges. Sometimes it causes wounds for other people, and sometimes it wounds us, ourselves, because it's very sharp. And the more that you keep this without oil, the more that it creates more wounds for yourself and for the others. So we can't actually go smooth in a relationship without the Holy Spirit, especially if you have the focus of the kingdom of God. Then it's a strong journey, and it's very challenging one, because you go sometimes against what you want. But that means that you need to build up the discernment, this virtue of discernment, to be able to discern between good and bad, between what's right and what's wrong, what's justice, what's for you and what's for the other. And this is an important thing, that who is your leader in this relationship. And when this anointment happened, I could see a very beautiful verse with St. Paul. Always I link it with this. Those who are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the children of God. Who is leading you? Who's leading you? Is it your emotions, your motives, or the church here is telling you a strong symbol, a strong message? The leader here in this relationship would be the Holy Spirit. And if you are not able to listen and to train your senses, train your inner senses to hear and to listen carefully to the Word of God, then you will be led by other things. You will be led by your instincts. You will be led by your motives. You will be led by others. You will be led by actions in life, happenings in life. And that's not the leadership. Leadership here in the house has to be actually the Holy Spirit leads you. And this is, I feel, it's the Holy Spirit leads us in softness. In softness. And this softness that the Spirit is leading us is giving us the joy. And that means it's also carries within it a beautiful promises. And these promises is so beautiful. I give you the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So here we are anointing you with a responsibility, with fluidity, with soothing activities, but also with a beautiful fruit that you will enjoy. And this fruit, actually, this is what we all searching for. And the symbolism here is a very important thing. The fourth symbolism here, which I feel as well that is very strong, is the actual putting them together, putting head to head, and bless them, and crowning them with this beautiful prayer. Bless them, Father, the Pantocrator, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's the crown, crowning them is for the kingdom of the Father, and the blessings for the Son, that is, he's blessing your life with his example, and the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. And this is something that it's a very beautiful relationship between the couple and the Holy Trinity. And this is an important relationship that people need to be to look at as a beautiful lifting up relationship. That is not a relationship that the couple is wanting, but it's an activity, it's an action of lifting up. And here I could see that the Lord wants to honor us, human being, to lift us up to have a relationship with the Trinity. And then here, of course, there are some advices that the church is giving to the bride and to the groom, where they would share together this life with lots of instructions. But still, what's really beautiful that the church is asking them to hold hand in hand and walk towards the sanctuary. Walk towards this altar. And this is the direction that you need to keep. Walk towards the sanctuary. Because nothing in your life would be straightened without the sanctuary of God, without the altar of God. And here I will stop here at the altar, and I will tell you, it's the altar. If you come with me, walk on the footsteps of Abraham, in the footsteps of Abraham, and you go to the altar where Abraham built, and you are standing on the footsteps of Abraham, and in front of you is his altar, and ask yourself, could offer his son, the most beautiful one that he had, he is searching for, he waited for, what can you offer? And then here, God is taking you to the altar to teach you how to offer. Because the life without offerings would be nothing. What can you offer to one another? What can you offer to God? What can you offer to the others? And this is a continuous relationship between you as a couple and the Holy Trinity. Then you have a direction in life. Maybe in your life you will stumble, but you have the same direction when you stand up. You can't stumble and you change direction. Then the direction always has to be the altar, the offerings. And then if you are able to offer to one another and offer yourself to God, then that would be the life, that it will be very blessed all your life. God bless you.
I have to admit that this is my first time to understand the garment and the crowns and these symbols. Thank you, Sayyidina. Any questions?
Sometimes the people who get in the altar just at the Thanksgiving prayer, and sometimes they get in the altar just after the instructions with those present groups.
It's... I don't really see. Normally, we do it after the instructions, so it's the end of the ceremony. We open the altar curtain, and then we see the direction that it's continuous. But even they open it at the beginning, it's also a clear sign that this is the direction that you go through. It's not the ritual things, but there's the meaning behind it. So sometimes if we got stuck with ritual small things, maybe we lose the main concept. It's for me, if I open it in the beginning or at the end, it's okay. But it's clear for me, this is the direction that I go through. And no deviation, but then this is the direction. But if most of the time we open it at the end, and maybe because the church needs to build the feelings and the understanding of the groom and the bride with other symbols, with other ideas, with the philosophy of marriage, then we can send them and tell them, now you understand, then here you can go this direction. So you go through the direction with understanding.
Yes.
Yeah.
When they hold the hands and they are covered with a napkin.
It's the seal of the sacrament. Because it's a sacramental thing. We cannot just understand what happens to in there. We can logically understand one level. But there is a depth of a sacramental understanding that we cannot pronounce. So it's something that is sealed. It's a mystery. That's why we call it a mysterion. It's mystery. It's something that it's really we need to understand logically, but the depth of it, it's a mystery. I remember one thing that happened. I understand that nobody would know this person here or... One day, maybe a few years ago, I was traveling in one of the countries, not in Egypt. And then I met one person who was living with another person, with a woman, but not married. Just for certain reasons. And then when I heard this, I thought, no, that's not possible. Why you do that? And then we start talking and talking and talking. And he was a little bit far from the spiritual life and things like that. And then, with God's grace, I was able to convince both of them that she will be baptized and got married. And we did that. So after a few weeks, I felt like I need to call them and see how they are, because I felt like I did something and I need to follow it. Maybe I was afraid that something wrong could happen there, and I just wanted to make sure that they are okay. And this man with his wife told me something that I would never forget. Because the man was a Coptic and he knew about the agave bread, the Orban. He told me that, "Do you know something that I want to thank you for? But I don't know if you can understand. It's the same feelings when you eat the agape bread, the lo'mat al-baraka, the ologiyah, and if you take the communion. It's the same bread, but it's a completely different feelings. It's the mystery. It is the sacrament." And I felt like, I would never understand this. How could I? But I think someone who had experienced both situations, and he was able to put it just so clear, it's the same difference. Yes, you live sometimes with something, but at the same time, the sacramental part of it is adding a uniqueness of the relationship. It's not a physical marriage. It's not emotional marriage. It's not a social marriage. It's something that goes deeper to the spirit, and the spiritual marriage that counts something very beautiful. And here, this is what it left. It lifts up the whole relationship, spirituality of marriage. And this is, I feel like, I want to tell every person who's coming to this sacrament, the matrimony. It is a great sacrament. Like the Bible said about it, it's a great thing. It's a great sacrament. It's a great mystery. And this is the greatness of it, that sometimes we are not able to understand the beauty of the sacrament. We need to thank God for it.
Any more questions? Please go.
Okay. No, when you are nakedness, if you are willing to expose yourself, that is something you share yourself with another person. But if someone is sneaking to see your nakedness without your own will, what do you think of that? If someone is sneak and look on your own things that you are not willing to share with. And this is what made Noah feel angry. So it's if you are willing or not. This is this. If you're willing, that's sharing. We got exposed to the doctors because we want it. But no one wanted that someone will sneak from a window and look at him or her. Yes, of course, if you have nothing to hide, that's okay. But sometimes you don't want to share everything with the whole world. Especially, every person has its own, why we cover, so we can go naked in the streets now. Yeah. Yes. It's the willingness or the unwillingness. This is that counts. If you are willing, so go ahead, share it.
I remember I read, I think, after Saint Athanasius, he said Adam and Eve were naked, but they never felt naked. because they were covered with the grace of God, and they did not know how precious was the grace of God. When they met sin, they felt the nakedness because they lost the cover. There were a cover, but they did not see it, the grace of God. So they felt the feeling of nakedness because they lost this cover. That's why God interfered and put His cover, which symbolizes His redemption after. So, yeah, they felt ashamed. So when we feel ashamed of many things, we cannot talk on this matter with anybody. Only to the one who we trust most and who we share everything. That's the mystery of or the sacrament of marriage. So it's very mysterious or sacramental. The same relation with God. I'm naked in the eyes of God because He knows everything, He sees everything, and I trust His eyes. He loves me. That's why we can, in this special relation, we can uncover everything to the partner, our weaknesses, our bad habits, bad feelings, whatever.
I think here is the understanding about your own self and your talents. Sometimes we understand that I have a very beautiful talent and this is mine. And then if anything would hit it, then I will be really shaken. And then this would be my crown that I feel like I would never give it away. And this is someone that he feels that this is my crown, this is my beauty, this is my money. Then they feel that they will walk in life and they have their value lay on this crown, lay on this particular thing. But at the same time, there are some other way of thinking, which is humble yourself before the Lord. It is like, I would have the same talent. I will have the same crown. But I will feel like this is given to me from the hand of God. It's not mine. It is God who is giving me this talent. So I will put it for His service. And I am ready. I'm ready. If I lose it, I know I can lose this, but I would never lose God. I would never lose the giver. And that means that my crown is actually not the thing, but my crown is the Lord Himself. And that's here, someone is humble, humbling himself before the Lord, knowing that the Lord is the source of all good things. And that means that nothing in this world actually would be the real value of me, because my real value is the Lord Himself. Then I am ready to give it away if it's not my real value. And that means if the relationship between myself and my partner, people together, relationships, would conflict in having one thing, and I would see like the Lord actually can give me, and He can give me. And the Lord is using this. And if this is not working for the glory of God, and He is asking me, please give it to me, then I would be ready to give it away. Some people, the Lord is asking them to give something really they like or they love, and they are refusing. They can't give. And that means that they are so proud of something that they don't have. It's a difference here.